My visions are my torture. My visions are my comfort. Turquoise visions, turquoise flying. For those whose hearts are not tired of sowing in the field of dreams. For the journey is bittersweet, half hurt, half tenderness. Like thorny milk thistle, like sweet smelling jasmine. Accepting variety and different behaviors. Going beyond wrongdoings and rightdoings into new and more thriving harvests. My visions are my scrambling ascent. My visions are my sacred conquest. Turquoise visions, turquoise flying. For those whose hearts can admire the phosphorescent hopes of the sunset. For the journey is rugged, half uphill, half downhill. Like bare time in the winter cold. Like bees gathering nectar from spring blossoms, evoking the rain's lament and the sun's caress. Going beyond unpleasant and pleasant reactions onto new and even higher peaks. My visions are my futile mirages. My visions are my sweetest oases. Turquoise visions, turquoise flying. For those whose hearts are refreshing fountains of muses' songs. For the journey is uncharted. Half tempest, half tranquility. Like a wavy, turbulent sea on a windy day, like crystal, serene waters under the shimmering sun. Sailing over low and high tides, going beyond traumatic and fond memories, into new and longed-for harbors. My visions are my lightning duty. My visions are my radiant basking. Turquoise visions, turquoise flying. For those whose hearts shine brightly through storms. For the journey is evolving. Half empirical, half innate. Seeing what I encounter, seeing what I know. Painting the world in dark and iridescent hues. Going beyond detrimental and beneficial beliefs. Into new and more exquisite rainbows. Our visions are our unmanifested ashes. Our visions are our golden wings. Golden visions, golden flying.
Alexander, thank you for joining us all the way from Greece. That was gorgeous. That was the most transcendental PowerPoint slide I have ever So next up, also on Zoom, we have Jeff Cottrell.
Thank you. So I've rewritten an Aesop fable, or rather I've updated it. This is The Ant and the Grasshopper in the Arts. An ant and a grasshopper were waiting to audition for a major stage remount of Hamlet. "I'm sure to get the role of Prince Hamlet," boasted the grasshopper. "You don't say," said the ant. "I'm gunning for that part too." "That's cute," said the grasshopper with a smirk. "But I'm going to land it. You know why? Because I've got charm, effortless charm, and God-given talent. That's what my agent says. I've got a natural stage presence that can't help but win over even the most discriminating casting directors. They know I've got what it takes to draw audiences to the box office. What do you think of that?" "That's nice," said the ant. "I'm going to count on hard work to get the role." "Hard work?" the grasshopper guffawed. "Are you serious?" "Oh, yes." The ant waved his resume at the grasshopper. 20 years of acting experience, both stage and film. Not only that, but I studied at Juilliard under some of the greatest acting teachers in the continent. The method, the Alexander technique, I've long mastered it all." "Huh," said the grasshopper. "And besides," the ant went on, "I already know the play inside out, and I've been conducting a thorough analysis of Prince Hamlet's inner motivations throughout the play, not to mention doing extensive historical research into what it was really like to be a young Danish prince in the Middle Ages, as well as the common behavior of people with depression and suicidal tendencies. This is how I'm going to achieve the most honest and authentic portrait I possibly can." The grasshopper laughed again. "Sucker," he said. "All that hard work is a waste of time. My charm and talent always get me by, and they will again now." "Whatever," said the ant as he headed into the audition room. "Good luck, grasshopper." 3 months later, the grasshopper had started his first day at flipping burgers at the local Wendy's. He was very depressed about not getting a role in the Hamlet production. "Well, maybe the ant was right," he thought. "Maybe I should have done all the work, paid my dues. Maybe that's how you succeed." The grasshopper had to use the bathroom, so he cut through the kitchen to get to the facilities. And there, loading burger patties into the freezer, was the ant. "It's you," gasped the grasshopper. The ant turned to the grasshopper and nodded. "What are you doing here? You didn't score the Hamlet role either?" The ant gave an embarrassed shrug. "They cast the producer's son as Hamlet," he replied. "Wow," said the grasshopper. "But come on, you didn't get any role in the play?" The ant shook his head. "The other roles just went to a bunch of dudes who were better looking than us." There was a pause as the ant opened another meat package. "Well, that's bullshit," said the grasshopper. The ant just shrugged again. "So," added the grasshopper, "you want to apply for med school?" That was The Ant and the Grasshopper in the Arts. And I want to announce I have a novel coming out, actually available for pre-order. Look for Hate Story on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's coming out officially this Saturday. There's going to be a big Zoom launch, and I will put some links in the chat for the Zoomers. Have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff. That was excellent. So now we are back in the room, light as a feather, stiff as a board. We have Catherine Brown.
Fantastic evening, everyone. This poem is about my very first serious crush. It's called Latin in the Rain. Reveal your tortoise love. I want to taste your full salt. Summer scent of writhing fuchsias, necking in turtlenecks. Share your secrets, bathe my wounds. I want to know in 3 days what I did not know for 30 years. You are my destiny returned, copybook blotted desire, reading Latin in the rain. Alia iacta est. Non omnis morior, orare esperare. I carpe diem once more with you, my Timmy Reardon.
Thank you. And next to the mic, we have Patricia Walsh.
It's called asking for it. It's my own fault for not laughing, seeing the jibe through pain darkly, flavour of the month being an easy target, asking for a ridicule is my monumental sin. It's my own fault for not standing up, standing ground where none is intended, being stolen from, getting off my case, a small fee for living in peace. It's my own fault for stating hard facts. Nobody associates with me now for fear of congregating with damaged goods. It's my own fault. Just keep quiet. It's my own fault for not being cool enough. Clothes, hair, and makeup beloved to a T, sufficient to impress the boys down the road 5 minutes before the buses leave. It's my own fault for being silent, leading alone through sorry eyes, scrutinized through weight of inaction, even knowing my sins before I do. It's my own fault conversing with the unknown, attempts at decipherment bring dry, fear what's not understood, laughed at. It's time for me to join in the fun. Thanks.
Next up, we have Jason Fisher.
So I wrote this today. I think it's called Decided I'm Staying. So we'll see. You can start off completely lost, trying to chart all these fleeting thoughts. But when I'm gone, they'll wish they could still see me talk or that CD dropped. Now this is fantastic. You can take that pain and stack it, attack it, shake the fucking foundations and make a real racket. There's only ever two choices, reenact it or redact it. That's it. No need for dramatics. You can stretch it, examine every facet, then eject it, cast it off when it's not an exact fit. You can find a way to mind the signs which say, you can shine today. A person who is their best version and can say, I designed myself this way, is a fine display. Suddenly all the clicking, hissing, steaming thoughts are streaming, and it seems I'm gleaning meaning from the present moment and everyone proceeding, everyone preceding. If you don't fix yourself, you'll damage those who were never the cause of your bleeding. So fold it up inside, that golden insight. Cradle it next to your heart and mold it with time until you feel it in the day and you know it at night. But how much is filled with false flags and dichotomies? Probably all of them. Look, life kicked you in the teeth so solidly. So go grab a big stick, checking its heft and quality, letting that ego death swallow me. I'm happy to be alive. You know what I'm saying? I'm dissecting my days, dividing my time between striving and straying. But I've decided I'm staying. I've decided I'm staying. I've decided I'm staying. I've decided I'm chasing, and I've decided I'm Jason.
Thank you, Jason. Jeez, that's very polished for just today. That's beautiful, man. Always a pleasure to hear you read. Next up, we have Rob Dart.
So this is called Morrissey's Equation by the Irish poet Sinead Morrissey. The shock of black hair bobbing, keyboard tapping in contemplation, creates mastery through form without the angel of creation. Where to go without the muse's whispers? How in God's name can it be done? You soothe the errant lines to better frame the shifting sands you build cathedrals on. A wry smile alters the hallowed glow, a Pythagoras beset on her equation pulls death through square windows and leaves the lower east side blazing. This is one I wrote about a year ago and completely forgot, and have had to piece it back together again, which has been interesting. It's called Heliopolis. My love rises in the west on cold, callow days, her face set in defiance to those old, fallow ways. Far flung are her movements on an astral stage, but I love her most on her outermost days. Ablaze like sol before those iridescent rays, I flit like a moth before her fiery gaze. I hope you rise in Heliopolis from your grand funeral pyre, for there is love and hate and death and desire. Thanks.
And next up, we have Jim Cricker.
Thank you. So this poem is called A Cyborg Tries Online Dating with Grindr. On Grindr. Cyborg on Grindr. Target identified, discreet, effaced by Microsoft Paint. Compromising user's Facebook account, intimating interest. Good evening, Mr. Walsh. I am interested in making your acquaintance. How is your wife? Your feline pet is aesthetically pleasing. Mr. Walsh replies, I'm lost on the internet. I wanted fishing hooks, but everyone here is talking about hooking up. Blocking Mr. Walsh. User is denying mating advances. Subject is trying to deflect from sexuality, or is technologically inept, or the truth does not interest me. Phase 2, create enticing profile. Running diagnostics for finding love. Topless photograph of self in bathroom mirror. Memo, contact manufacturer for muscle upgrade. Photograph with companions imbibing alcohol. Error, do not have any human companions. Image of self smiling, photoshopping Mr. Walsh's feline companion into my arms. Image uploaded and approved. User awaiting love. Phase 3. Users are sending images of their pelvic appendages. Scanning response protocol. User behavior defies my programming. Responding to users with images of my serial number and my headphone jack. Results. Users are blocking me. Interest expressed by one software engineer. My interest is not reciprocated. Potential for gaslight reprogramming too high. It's kind of shaking. Phase 4. Users are online, but nobody is writing to me. Initiating self-doubt sequence. Am I unattractive? Is feline image too personal? Phase 5, decrease in mental well-being, 63%. Considering deletion of Grindr. Phase 76, skipped a load. Analysis of data. Time spent on Grindr, 3,000 minutes. Conversations initiated, 1.7 million. Conversations reciprocated, 143. Number of users who have initiated ghosting rejection strategy, 142. Exception, the software engineer contacts me every day. I have one new message. Opening user profile. Subject has goofy expression and is wearing chef hat. Subject pictured with aesthetically pleasing feline. Paws dipped in cake frosting. Attraction level spiking. Attraction meter malfunctioning. Memo, contact manufacturer for repair. Digital heartbeat racing. Opening message. Hello, fellow cyborg. My name is Roger. Would you like to converse in robotic code? Initiate language change. 18,000 conversations completed in under 3 seconds. Unbelievable. You were the first person I contacted since joining Grindr 5 minutes ago. Initiating joke. In golfing terms, you have scored a hole in one.
Nice one, Jim. That was excellent. So up next, we have one of my favorite poets. We have Massimo joining us all the way from Philadelphia.
Oh, thank you. Kapla, I appreciate you saying that. That means a lot. So this piece, I don't have memorized, so I'm going to read it off my screen. Give me 1 second. Calling on a long extension, bonded by a strong connection, seeing beyond comprehension, love that crosses all dimension, love that's left when all is reckoned, wrongs are righted, that's collected. Unless what's wrong's just my perspective, bent from efforts to correct it. Seeking power in perfection, find powerlessness a blessing, if true power will never lessen, by letting others help you strengthen. Maybe power is just reflecting my self-respecting self-perception. Is it this world I'm affecting, or just my world I'm projecting? Attempts to keep the light I'm kept in, depth in shadows deep to step in, light absorbing, then deflecting. Nothing's breaking, light's just bending. Even pain may yield a lesson, but don't let it wield its weapon. Unarmed truth needs no defending, as your truth and truth keep blending. Live your legend, dream invention, make pretend without pretending, make amends without forgetting, make my bed without regretting, make up, break up without ending, make an effort, keep intention, or just make mistakes and keep accepting. Made perfect and imperfection. A tree of life that I find room in. I try to taste it without chewing. If it's feeling what I'm doing. How to bloom without consuming. How to be loved, not resisting. Receiving gifts without condition, without needing something missing. Admitting truth beyond forgiving. Or forgiving truth beyond admitting. Yeah. Loving freely, loving freely, loving truly, loving deeply, or even taking loving easy to be loved before loving unsweetly. To be loved after understanding, love's a gift received by granting. It's the reason we are standing and the greatest law commanding. But the law of love is lawless, still without it, all is nonsense. No oath or vow or broken promise can prove where love is or is not honest. It's like a kiss of the imagination that lures matter into formation. What is it that makes all creation seek itself to keep creating? So, in a world that needs our healing, just keep alive that loving feeling. In us all, for our revealing that we already are the real thing. Peace and love.
Again, Massimo, masterful, beautiful man, nice one. I see on the Zoom chat that Jacqueline is heading away. Jacqueline, thank you so much. It was such a powerful reading earlier. So next up, we have Cal McGuire.
I don't know if any love punk ever follow a cyborg on Grindr, but we'll give it a go. Dissolve. Night, on a bridge I've never been. You wear that dress, woven from all my lost chances, as we watch lanterns far below, little amber souls pull paper bodies into paradise. You laugh, and a light in me sprouts wings, burns intense, and begs to chew through this thin chest. I hold you close and we collapse, refugees in separate flights, reunited in a halfway terminal. We cast across the constellations of your gaze, beyond some other world we'd recall, one winter night, drunk on spiced wine, and curled in the light. We joke about what I wore, how we were, shared hands shape the past to size, fit it in the scrapbook of our mind. If I could slumber in this snow globe moment forever, I would. You look part, an eclipse over lifetimes unlived. I feel the caress of your voice, but cannot hear you speak. I wonder what the words were that pulled me from my sleep. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Cal. Another new face. Cal has read twice. So next up, we have Margaret Regan.
This is not an actual poem, but I want to remind people that at the moment there's a big government drive on to make us join NATO. And the only thing that Ireland could ever contribute to NATO are our bodies, young people, our boys and our girls, women and men. And that's the only thing we have that they want. And I just want to read a quote from Eric Hartmann. He's a veteran of World War II, and he said this: "War is a place where the young kill one another without knowing or hating each other because of the decision of old people who know and hate each other without killing each other."
Next up, folks, we have Susanna Civiletti.
Okay, this is about food. I love aubergine. So this is an ode to aubergines. Testimony of travels and trials reinvented in every shore they brought you. Melanchana, you say at home. With the consonants following each other as the lip is eating the vowel. Poisonous at first, wild in the far continents, knowledgeable hands changed your DNA in Africa and India. They say that you got domesticated in your dresses of marbled paper and mystery dark purples. Dear pineapple, melanzana, I lightly fry you and put you in a blanket of dark tomato puree. Like in the good old days when I could smell you as the ferry was landing under the balcony of my auntie's. The table was laid out with the pasta on one side, parmesan on the other, dark tomato sauce in the pot, and you alone in a bowl. That's how cooks survive, my auntie says, when each of you wants a different combination and layering of the dish. My brother goes for the pasta and parmesan, my parents for the pasta and tomatoes, while I want you. just you. On a velvet carpet of reduced sauce. Your flesh, home to my teeth, rich, toned, and creamy. I keep you in my tongue longer. Feel your weight and succulent fibers before chewing your saltiness. I taste you. I taste you. I taste you.
It's been a fabulous evening tonight, folks. There's so much quality on the open mic. What a night for the mic. Next up, we have Catherine Budden on Zoom.
Hi.
So Catherine is the winner of our Five Word Challenge this evening.
Thank you, everybody. I wrote this in 2017, and I kept trying to talk myself out of doing it, but I'm doing it anyway. And thanks for your attention, and thanks. I love being here. Wish I were actually there. It's called Hardware. I like going to hardware stores. In fact, I love going to hardware stores. They're the only place I can pretend that I'm a man and really throw my weight around. Where are the hammers? I yell out to no one in particular. The one strong enough to bash Putin's head in, I say. Not exactly that loud, but in my head. Not that I'm going to bash Putin's head in, but rather I'll just use it on my neighbor. That's not someone. That's just a weird substitution and rubber mold of a man. So does that even count? I really dig stopping in hardware stores. I relish going slowly up and down the aisles of paints and cleaning products, oohing and aahing at the tall ladders and short stools for gardening and pruning projects. Oh, and isn't it delightful to span the rows of scented candles or even the small-sized garden solar panels? I don't know about you, but I like barging into a hardware store, marching right up to the front counter, smiling and asking for the manager, because no one else can handle my exuberance, my demanding nature, my bossiness. Only the manager can exhibit enough intelligence to actually make an executive decision and give me at least a 10% discount just because it's the easiest way to get rid of me. I need a big bag of potting soil, I scream at the dodo bird girl standing in front of me. You see, the manager wasn't actually available then, so now I have to deal with her. Or I could go to another hardware store and start all over again, but that's too easy. I think instead I'll mosey on down the road until I find a lumber store. Yep, a lumber store offers even more possibilities, that's for sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Next up, we have Boo.
I'm afraid mine's not nearly as funny as that. You say you love me. You say I'm everything you need. The moon and the stars, the sun and the sea. But this cannot be. For I am broken and empty. How can I be the stars when the light has left my eyes? How can I be the sea when all my tears are shed? How can I be everything when I am nothing? Nothing at all. You say that I am lovely, the most beautiful thing you have ever seen, more beautiful than a summer meadow, more beautiful than a winter storm, but I think you have gone blind. There cannot be beauty where there is only pain. I am not a summer meadow. I am not a winter storm. I am the vast, dry desert with nothing but wind and sand to see. You see, don't you see how you lie? You shower me with metaphors, bury me in poetry, but can't you see? I am not the sound of birdsong or the girl who shines when she smiles. So how, pray tell, can you love me? I am not being coy. I am not being cute, and you do not need to tell me again as if it is you who can convince me, because you do not love me. You love the girl you imagine me to be, but I am not her. I am not made of metaphors. I am flesh and I am blood. I am anger and I am sadness. I am ugly and horrible and disgusting, and I will not change. I do not want to. So do not tell me you love me with daydreams and lies. Tell me you love me when I cry. Tell me you love me when I eat my way through my third bag of crisps in the same clothes I have worn all week. Tell me you love me as I throw up in the sink. But you do not love me then. So I will tell you this. You do not love me at all.
Thank you, Bui. Well read. So next up, we have Antonio.
This poem calls Glitch. A glass ball hits a rubber wall. No sound, no smell, no movement. Could you please underestimate the power of the words? Polystyrene serendipity. A glass ball touches a wood tree. Boom, boom. A heart beats. Boom, boom. Whispers the sound. A symphony for the winter. Turn around. There's a glitch inside the system. A solid fear, like a wounded rage of a wild youth. Words fall down one by one like sandstones. A glass ball draws a vertigo on the wall. Jump in, 74 seconds of astonishment lost. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Antonio. Well read, and welcome to Lovell. So next we're going back to Zoom. We have Pam Campbell.
Pam is another one of my favorite poets.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, what I'm going to read is a cinto I wrote. And for those of you that may not know what a cinto is a Latin word for patchwork. And it's like a collage poem. And it's a poetic form that's composed entirely of lines from other poets. And so my cinto, Grace, is the title. It is composed from the words of these poets that are my very favorite poets. And one is a good friend. Lucille Clifton, Joy Harjo, Langston Hughes, Jim Minnick, and James Steele. So this is my tribute to them. And it's become my mantra in these hard times. Cinto, Grace. I was born humble at the foot of mountains, their branches, lashes to close on the blue eye of day, bridge between starshine and clay. Eagle rounds out the morning to one whole voice, shifts to the other side of darkness, wrapped in the blanket of nightmares. Ancient dusky rivers, bright as the blood red edge of the moon, her lean darkness electrified by prayers, mosquito netting thin. Last chorus of a whispery blue, seven steps to grace, carry canoes to the edge of the salt, climb through the hole in the sky, unknow my way back into the earth. Thank you.
So next up we have Niall.
I have a cheeky plug to do first. I have a collection of poetry that I had written over the last 3 years, and I'm releasing it soon. I'm not sure when, but I'm trying to get a date to do a launch. But I brought some along if anybody wants to get one off me, and they're €10, and there's 10 poems in there, and there's like a collection of collages and my photographs as well. So yeah, and then hopefully I'll be able to announce when the launch event is here next month. And I'm going to read, like a small one from it and then a longer one. Pears. I thought I heard your footsteps coming down the path. Then I realized it was just the pears falling from the tree. The pears, in pairs, but out of phase, like footsteps, like us. And then, the pulse. The pulse is the old man holding out his hand and the young doing so too. The pulse is depression and not forgetting that the pulse is elation and changing the station. The pulse is staring right back at the nation and the pulse is meeting a friend over a black and white, but the pulse is talking of all the greys in between. The pulse is not as it seems. The pulse is forgetting to remember that you even had a dream and the pulse is in all the scribbles and the past of reams. The pulse is how the sun beams. The pulse is a new moon and a kiss at noon. The pulse always leaves too soon. The pulse is you alone in a room, so the pulse is salvation flirting with doom. The pulse sleeps in this town because the pulse is smiling through a frown. The pulse is swimming not for pleasure but to avoid your drown, but the pulse always drags you down to bring you higher. The pulse is in every sigh and every town crier. The pulse is a lie, a fable, spread on every table. The pulse is the lies we're fed. The pulse is influenced by the unsaid. The pulse is the truth if you see it as so, though, because the pulse is under toe and is under your toe. The pulse isn't and is just for show. The pulse is apparent to flow. The pulse is your memories flashing before your eyes, and the pulse is living while preparing you to die. The pulse is leaving you tonight. The pulse is beautiful. We can promise you this. Thank you.
Well, Mouse Collection looks like a beautifully put together piece of work from what I can see from here. So do hit him up. So next up we have Joseph. Joseph is on Zoom, I think. Joseph, can we get you next, please?
I think he left. I don't see him on Zoom now.
I also think he left. I can't see you.
Yeah.
There we go. So we'll move on to the next person on the list, which is Cedric.
I think she knows I'm French. This one is actually a collection of much smaller poems over in card, to see the way you want. And I collated them together because they kind of on the same theme. So it became one thing called Meeting Calls. Dusk Lanterns. Eros blesses fighters and lovers alike. The dancers turn deadly or lovely. For the coin of love is sided with either destruction or illusion. A strange stepped stride around a bush until someone beats it. Night out. All roads lead to rum. More rum led to ruin. Too drunk to find your secrets, incapable of reading the runes. Blood on the dance floor. If love is a melody and God a DJ, I have become deaf by a thousand cuts. The morning bell after. Rust tongue and blueberries. Wait. Sobering. There isn't enough space in the throat for a sentence and a scream. No promises, no need to make a scene.
Thank you.
So next up, we have Kara, please.
Infinite lingers on the tips of these fingers, and the tip of my tongue words spurt and they tumble undone. Unfurling, I murmur and I mumble some verbs, a murmuration of birds align, disperse, and they re-emerge. Into patterns they weave their atoms into a tapestry of natural talent. Blue tits and sparrows announce the new day from the shadows. The bowed heads of flowers crane their green necks to the sky as the sun starts to rise, giant spiders pass by. Spindly legs, they spin their spools of silver, catching a squirming bee with nectar dripping off of his legs, he quivers, wondering if this burden has cost him his life, will he ever see the inside of the beehive alive? Silver gossamer glistens and is knitted into the nooks and crannies of heather. The pale morning waits for the world to wake from its slumber. Sun seeps into the day, satiating the clay, erasing the traces of the night from the sky, like the sand being sapped dry from the pull of the tide. Sky streaked in orange and the sun sinks, and the world is brushed in blue hues. Dew droplets cling to the blades of green as the dusk chorus dims, birds drift off to sleep. Shadows stretch longer and then they disappear completely, engulfed in the darkness of night but pierced with faraway stars, little pinholes of light. They sit still suspended, freckling the sky. Sometimes they sit in their constellations, but now they appear to me alone, reminding me that we are all standing as puppets, propped up and played by our shadow.
And next up we have on Zoom Matt Mooney, please.
So it's coming up to the last now, and it's getting late, and the two poems I have, it's a two in one, really. I will read you the Irish version of a poem and then give you the translation. The original poem appeared in my collection, Falling Apples, and the Irish translation only appeared now, that was 2010, recently published in a book called Eilu, published by Cushkin. And it's about rural Ireland this time of the night. I mean, I'm arriving on cue with this. Eilu, it means escape. Pinty Guinness mar funkiot ako is e igwidata a kolakaha. Kora kursi clown natalun. A corsana atai gorekela. Scotta bra bulan a conacadar. No score un atuil. Deal igdina egan. Igbogo shirdo on mar ardera. Agus a cush came in a toaste ege. A vadja loiva. Marvaja Rava E Korulesh E Lu Awala Do Fain Amatrina Dorsha Duva Dubelta Ago Honege Tesh Ihe Ella Avelt Tevlum Imahart Or Dumer A Chris Sawala A Lurg Go Conscious Nev ord ege cunus shot nikilla. A ta in a vratanus on troy de valla. Fogamid dun durnon lumpy lassa. Na type she a ta squilta in oat. A scopper. Tipping. stepping away. Using points for punctuation. Farming friends around him, holding earthy conversations, man-to-man discussions on someone's lock of cattle or a lovely score of lambs. Turning his back to the bar, measuring his every step, he implies a walking stick to aid his disappearance. Exiting black swing doors, writing off another night. In good humor going home, unconscious of the loneliness of the silent sleeping village, he sits into my waiting car and we leave the street lamps to the phantoms of the night. Thank you.
Gurbila Mad Guntlaker Fodervad. Next up we have Kieran McCartan, please.
Thanks, Laura. Yeah, pleasure to listen to you tonight. It's called The Service to the Served. This one goes out to the toothpaste I stole on nights spent abroad. The service to the served, the tonic for the moment, split at the edges. Caps off to the seeker, the ever-believer, the thread past the weaver, put down unexpected to brace gale needles and a bundle of mohair. Couldn't get past the feeling, the dry, whittled, low flare, shy attempt at redemption. The rule to the exception, fend well when wanting and seldom left waiting, confronted escaping. I am no plaything, I come to make statements and leave to enact them. I'll wait for your verdict and predict the outcome. A stop in the gap, a good laugh and then some. A token, the track of well-smoked projection. Only changing the tack completes the collection. A dealer, in fact, of fact's resurrection. Knee-deep in the pack, can't detach the ransom from strands of logic unwaged. Against impulses of ease, the hand shown and played out of time, out of step with your poor phrase, stayed misplaced, ineffective, complacent, you gaze with wide-angle perspective. You'd stick clean to common sense like I'd buy deceptive. I'm ready for it now, thanks to how you've prepped it. I'm 6 inches of topsoil, ingenious in your rejection, intravenous come life's toil, clean needles and skeptics, blood cooled from a long boil, steam seamless and septic, sprung from a clutched coil while all seem respected.
Now we're coming up to the final three poets. We're going to go to Zoom, where we're going to hear from Augustina.
Thank you. So it's not really a poem, but it's something I wrote whilst working through resentment towards my mother. So here it goes. I was stuck in a dark room, almost felt like being stuck in a freezer. I don't think I've ever experienced such rage in my life on a loop. How could she be so cruel? How could someone be so evil? How could someone be so in this pain? I fell from the sky into what looked like a droplet of water. I became tiny as an ant. Suddenly, I saw her as a child, this ignorant child that had been hurt by the world. In a split second, that cold frostbite-like anger became sunburns, where the pus was compassion. infected with a slight tint of puke pity and the sting of sorries never given or received. I guess I was cleansed by this water, this drop, this wash. It opened up something like hoop-like of unknown destination portals, and I flew through one with such courage and bravery. I was gliding and soaring over landscapes, mountains, seas, and forests. As I looked to my left and right, I saw these mighty colorful wings. I searched for the owner of these powerful things, only to find it was me. Like a jacket I had been wearing for so long, from so young, that I forgot when I first put it on. It became my default setting, my baseline. I did not know what life lived like without that jacket, that sticky layer worn like cling wrap. I have never truly felt the breeze on my bare skin, walked with such lightness that I witness in others, perspired naturally without feeling clammy. I realized that jacket was resentment towards someone who I honestly now believe could not do or be better. Oblivious she is, delusional, unknowing I was to the weights that had been sewn into the sleeves of this jacket, a collar of guilt I was in denial of, pockets full of shame, buttons carved from disappointment, held by threads of bitterness, trying to stay in place. There was a shift. I lost the jacket that day. Through going through that anger and grief, knowing that it came from purity and innocence, freeing myself from embarrassment of truth, now I learn to fly. I keep trying. I have to remind myself sometimes that I actually can. Bumping into many obstacles, landing in strange lands, yet feeling pride and honor because at least I have these vibrant feathers, so delicately mighty they have adorned me. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Augustina, for sharing that powerful journey. So next we have Max Creedon.
Checked in my friends, and I suppose whatever I write in the week, you know, I'm looking at chance for that songwriting workshop at the moment, and we crack out a song a week, you know. He does a 2-hour workshop and he makes you write, so you have to kind of write from the gut and not think too much. So the one person that was in my mind was someone that's part of our group here. And it's just really a raw subject, so I did check with my friends if it was okay to do it. And it's really a kind of a good wish and a blessing for her, where she is at the moment. Okay. Guitar. Sorry, no, I'll have a little moment. Apologies. The joys of it all. I do need this one. Red star and the sickle won't steal away your soul. This song is for you, Ada. Our comfort song for you. The magic spells of sorrow.
lilies and gold sunflower. Do not bow your head for the green and the yellow of your nation can be bled. And though tyrants rain their fire on you, from their metal birds they shed. If a man of great valor, and by him you are led, his song is for you, Ada, a comfort song for you. The last time that you wrote to us, you said, play Rammstein for you. So we will keep you in our hearts, we're thinking of you now. I know that God is kind to you, and you have found safe ground. Blue iris and gold sunflower, do not bow your head. Entwine yourself together, rise proud above your dead. Brave and bold, your story someday will be told. Sweet red scar and the sickle won't steal away your soul.
Very much, Mike. That was very touching. I just reiterate that the jar under the horse's head, all of the donations tonight are going to humanitarian causes in Ukraine and aid of where they can be. So, last up this evening, we have Sublu.
That really got me. I'm crying for Ada. I'm sorry about the state of the world. And I didn't know what to choose tonight, and I'm kind of dissolved right now. Because this week has been just fucking jinxed for everybody and me, and I feel the weight of the world. I chose a poem which is completely off the reel. It's not my own. I translated it. And it's trying to bring a little bit of happiness into a serious topic. It was written in... Well, the fellow who wrote it, Teodoro Fontana, lived 1819 to 1898, so it's written a while ago. My own translation is from 2020. I'm trying my best to keep this form. I'm not going to do his version because it's too long a poem. And I might have done it before at a bit, so I apologize if I forgot. This is about a fella who dies, but he's cheeky, and he kind of leaves a legacy. So I'm going to try my best to perform it to the best. Lord Ribbick from Ribbick. And this used to be performed by my dear grandmother, aged 75, in our kitchen at home in Germany. Lord Ribbick from Ribbick from... Hang on. Lord von Ribbick, from Ribbick in the Havelland, in a pear tree in his garden stand. When the golden time of autumn arrived, and the pears were beaming far and wide, Lord von Ribbick, in bells chimed noon, stuffed both his pockets full of them soon. And when in his clogs a boy to him came, he called out, "Lad, would you like a pear?" And when a girl came along, he'd exclaim, "Little lass, have a pear, come on over here." And thus it went on many years till, God bless, the time came for Ribbick from Ribbick to pass. He filled his end near, it was autumn time, again pears were smiling far and wide, when von Ribbick said, "I now pass away. Lay a pear down with me into the grave." And 3 days on from the double-ridged house, they carried old Lord from Ribbick out. All farmers and peasants with solemn face sang, Jesus be my confidence. And the children mourned him with heavy hearts. He's dead now. Who now has a pair for us? So the children lamented, yet that was unjust. Oh, they did not know old Fun Rebecca enough. They knew the new one, surely, is stingy and hard, keeps pack and pear tree bolted and barred. But the old man followed a boding hunch, was full of mistrust against his own son. Exactly he knew the instruction he gave when he asked that a pear be put into his grave. And in the third year from the quiet house, a sweet little pear tree sapling sprouts. And the years were passing by up and down. A pear tree bends over the grave long by now, and in the golden autumn time it gleams again from far and wide. And when through the churchyard goes a boy, in the tree it whispers, would you like a pear? And it whispers too, when a girl passes by, we less have a pear, come on over, my dear. Thus still comes a blessing from the old hand of Fun Rebecca, from Rebecca in the Havre.
I just want to check in that we don't have anybody else on Zoom. Okay, wonderful. Guys, thank you so much. That was a wonderful evening. Thank you so very much to our two guest poets, Dermot Malady and Jacqueline Safra. Thank you very much.